And now, friends, the birth of a child is a great joy to every family. And that birth, no doubt, is eagerly announced whenever it happens by parents, grandparents, family members, loved ones. And indeed, with today's technology, that news can spread fast, and it can also spread very far. Well, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, into the scene of time, it was not Mary or Joseph who made that announcement. Rather, it was an angel from heaven. We read about that here in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Verse 8 tells of the shepherds on the Judean hills guarding their flocks. And to these very same shepherds, an angel from heaven appears and tells the glad tidings of the Savior's birth. And in this message, we're told how the fear of the shepherds is quenched, it is quelled. The angel also speaks to the shepherds about the sign of the Savior's birth. And then here in verse number 11, our text for tonight, the angel makes a tremendous announcement regarding the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His birth in Bethlehem. Throughout time, there have been many tremendous, momentous, and important announcements. But I believe in this announcement here in verse number 11, you have the most important announcement that has ever been made in the history of this world from the dawn of creation. And it says there in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And boys and girls and young people and older folks with us tonight, it is this same great announcement that I want us just to think about in the closing moments of this carol service. First of all, I want you to think here about the relevance of Christ. And the relevance of Christ is really linked to that word Savior that you find in the verse. It says, "Therefore unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I want you to think about that word Savior. It really highlights the relevance of Jesus Christ to all mankind. How relevant then is Jesus Christ to all mankind? Well, when we answer that question, we must remember what man is before God. And the Bible would show us and teach us that before God, man by nature and by practice is a sinner before Almighty God. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." And through the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they took the forbidden fruit, sin has passed upon the entire human race. And what is sin? Sin, we're told, is the breaking of God's law. It's the coming short of God's glory. Sin separates man from God. The Bible says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sin is something that robs man of peace with God. The Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Sin is something that controls man's life. The Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light. And then ultimately, sin is something that condemns man to eternal punishment in hell. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And friends, in our meeting tonight, you and I, each and every one of us, we were born into this world sinners by nature, sinners by practice. David the psalmist could say, "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." We all have broken God's law. We all have come short of the glory of God. And if you're in the meeting tonight, young or old, and you're still not saved, this is something you need to understand, that sin robs you of peace with God. Sin separates you from God. Sin controls your life, and it condemns you to a lost eternity in hell itself. A famous preacher of a bygone day has said that sin has two great powers. It reigns and it ruins. That's something you need to realize, that, friend, the reign of sin is something that will ruin your life. It brings catastrophe and chaos to all our lives. And boys and girls, young people, older folk in our meeting tonight, the relevance of Christ to you and I, indeed to the rest of all mankind and the rest of all the world, is this: that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us from our sins. That is the good news, the great news of the gospel. Look at verse number 10 of the chapter there. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, what shall be to all people." What is that? Good tidings of great joy to all people. It is this, that Christ has come to save sinners like you and I. You think of one of the great titles given to Christ, it is that of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel there was speaking to Joseph about the birth of Jesus. And he says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And the relevance of Christ to you and I and all mankind is this, that he has come to save us from our sins. Many today scorn the Lord Jesus Christ. Many today in our society will say that the Lord Jesus Christ is not relevant to this modern age, to this modern world. Well, let me say to you tonight that Christ is the most relevant person to you and I, and indeed to all mankind, for our greatest need in life is a Savior from our sins. And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to be that Savior. You think of what Peter said to the Jews as he spoke of Christ. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And my, the great purpose of Christ's first coming, his first advent into this world, it was not to be our example, no. It was not to be our teacher. It was not to be a martyr. But the great purpose of his coming into this world was to be our Savior, to be a Savior from sin. The Apostle John tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He came to be a Savior from sin. Yes, the relevance of Christ. Notice something else here from this great announcement. Notice the reproach of Christ. And the reproach of Christ is really linked to the word born that we find in our verse. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that word born there really pinpoints, highlights the reproach that Jesus Christ was to experience it and coming into this world, into the scene of time, to be our Savior. Thinking about the reproach of Christ, we must understand and think of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ is the eternal Son of God. That he was equal with God, the Father, in power and in glory. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He created the world. The Bible says all things were created by him. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says he was without sin. He was holy. He was harmless. The Bible tells us how he was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you turn back to Luke chapter 1, verse 35, you'll see that. It says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," that's Mary, "the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Boys and girls, young people, older people, the babe in Bethlehem's manger was none other than the Son of God. And in the fullness of God's time, he was born of Mary in Bethlehem's manger. Luke chapter 2, verse number 12 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And in doing so, Jesus Christ was born. It says, yes, he was born. It's a fact of history. And he was born to die upon the cross. You see, by his sacrifice, what is Jesus Christ to do? He was to purchase salvation for sinners like you and sinners like me. And the Bible says of Christ, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." My 33 years of age in this scene of time on the cross, Jesus Christ, He suffered pain. He suffered scorn from sinful man. The Bible says that He was despised and rejected of men. And then for 3 hours of darkness upon that cross, we're told in the Bible that God the Father forsook Him. And He poured out upon His Son the wrath of God that we deserved rightly for our sins. The Bible says that the Lord have laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And by His death and by His sacrifice, what did He do? He satisfied God's justice and He provided an eternal salvation for sinful man. That is what He accomplished on the cross. The Bible says by His own blood, He obtained eternal redemption for us. You think of that great Christmas hymn and carol written by Charles Wesley about Christ. And this is what he says about Christ in that great hymn. He says of Christ that He was born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give, he says, the second birth. My, the reproach of Christ is in the scene of the fact that He left heaven's glory willingly, come into this sin-cursed world willingly, went to the cross willingly, and gave His life, the Bible says, a ransom for the many. Friend, tonight, understand this in our meeting, that salvation is not in our self-righteousness. It is not in our good works. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not in our money. The Bible says it is without money, without price. It is not in the rites or our ceremonies of religion. No, salvation from sin, forgiveness of sin, deliverance from sin's dominion, peace with God, eternal life, and a home in heaven. It is all through the person. And it is all through the work of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God alone. You think of what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door, He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. My, when you see Christ coming into this world and think of Him going to the cross, you see the awful reproach and ignominy and shame that He bore for our salvation. Notice something else here from this great verse, and this great announcement. Notice the reception of Christ. It says there at the beginning of verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And by the reception of Christ, there is highlighted by those opening words of verse 11, which says, for unto you. You know, there are similar words in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And you know, whenever a child is born unto a home, into a family, my, what have we to do with that child? We have a responsibility to receive it. To receive it into our home. To give that child all the love and all the care and all the attention that it rightly deserves. And in like fashion, the Lord Jesus Christ has been given unto us by God. And my, He is God's greatest gift to the sinful, fallen world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Therefore, each one of us have a responsibility to receive this gift. Yes, to receive Christ by faith and to trust Him as our own and personal Savior from sin. Boys and girls, young people, older people, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, the best way that you and I can honor Christ, the best way that you and I can show our gratitude to God for sending Christ into this world to be our Savior is for you and I to receive Him. To receive Him by faith, to trust Him in our heart and soul as our own and personal Savior. If you turn the page in your Bible reading over to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, the verses 28 and 29, here you read about an old man by the name of Simeon. What did he do with Christ? He received Him. He trusted Him to be a Savior. Look at what is said about him. In verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, it says of Simeon then took he him up, that's the baby Jesus, the little child in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Look at these tremendous words of testimony. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My Simeon was a man who put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Boys and girls, young people, men and women in our meeting tonight, how is it with you in this meeting? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him to be your Savior? Maybe it is still the case with you in our gathering tonight that you still reject Him. My, to reject Christ as Savior is to neglect Him as your Savior. It is to depend upon some false scheme of man or self for salvation. But what is it for you to receive Him as Savior? It is for you to come to Him by faith, to confess your sins to Him, to realize that He died for you upon the cross, and to call upon Him in faith to be your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the great message of the gospel is salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And praise God tonight, whoever you are, if you acknowledge your need as a lost sinner before God and trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says, the promise of the Scripture is this, that you shall be saved. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Simeon received Christ, he trusted Him. You know, you read of another character, King Herod, and he rejected Him. He neglected Christ. He turned his back on Christ. I trust that that will not be your case. But rather, like Simeon of old, you'll receive Christ. You'll trust Him. You'll accept Him into your heart by faith to be your own and personal Savior. One final thought from this great announcement. It also speaks to you and I about the reign of Christ. You see that there in the final words of verse number 11 of Luke chapter 2, where it refers to Christ the Lord. I want you just to think about those words, Christ the Lord. You know, in His first advent, Jesus Christ came into this world as a little baby, born in Bethlehem. And He was born to die upon the cross. That's His first coming. That's His first advent. But you know, the Bible also speaks to you and I about a second coming, a second advent. And when He comes back again to this world a second time, He's coming in power and in great glory. Yes, He's coming to return and to reign in power and in great glory as King of kings and Lord of lords. And when He returns the second time, He's going to put down all evil. The Bible says of the Lord, when He returns, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That's the ungodly, those evildoers who are alive upon this earth when the Lord comes back again. But He will also gather His people into heaven. It says of those who have trusted Him as Savior, so shall we ever be with the Lord in glory in heaven. He's coming back to rule and to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, this very same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. And you know, the rule and the authority of Christ when He returns reminds you and I of how we are to live on earth as Christians as we await the return of Christ. My, that way of life is to be one of obedience to God's Word, God's will for our lives, to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord, to live for Him. My, that's how it was with the wise men that we looked at this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 2. You read of them coming to the baby Jesus, and it says they fell down and worshipped Him and presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They served the Lord. They followed the Lord. They trusted the Lord. They obeyed the Lord's word and will for their lives. Boys and girls, young people, older people in our meeting tonight, when you're saved, that's the example that you and I are to follow as we await the glorious return of Christ the second time. You and I are to bow to God's will and word for our lives. We're to worship Christ in the throne of our hearts. We're to give our lives up to the service of God. Why? Because He gave His all for us. And coming to die for guilty, lost sinners such as you and I upon the cross of Calvary. It is said of President Lincoln on one occasion that he saved one of his soldiers from court-martial. Following that soldier promised to do his duty from that day forward and to be faithful in the cause of the army. And that soldier was mortally wounded in battle, but before he died, he sent this message to Abraham Lincoln, and the message was this: I have kept my promise, I have been faithful to my duty. And likewise, child of God, that's how it is to be with you and I when we're saved, as we await the return of Christ in power and in great glory. We're to serve Him. We're to keep His word, keep His truth. We're to be faithful to His cause, faithful to His kingdom. When He comes back again, you and I will hear that glorious commendation: well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. A verse here tonight says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you're not saved tonight, be you young or be you old, may you trust Him tonight. Call upon Him for salvation. If you're a believer in Christ in this meeting, by God's grace, day by day, as you await the glorious return of Christ, may you serve Him and live for His honor and glory, and day by day. May God bless His word tonight to every heart. If I can be of any help to anyone after the meeting, you're concerned about your spiritual need, I'll be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty, who is able, who is willing to save. May God bless His Word to all our hearts. We're going to hand back now to our brother Richard to bring the final hymn and closing prayer and give thanks for the food. And encourage you all to stay behind for supper. I'll be at the door to greet anyone who cannot stay, but we encourage as many as possible to stay behind and have a cup of tea and a time of fellowship together. Thank you and God bless you.